Welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Jerry Dennison, one of the ministers of the Pine Top Church of Christ. I encourage you to open your Bible and to search the Scripture with me to see whether or not the things we teach are true. Acts chapter 17, verse 11, commands the Jews of Berea for searching the Scriptures to see whether or not the things taught by the Apostle Paul were true. That should be our attitude also. If you have questions or comments regarding anything that we teach, we would like the opportunity to study the Bible with you. Visit our website at www.pinetopcoc.org. Our email is pinetopchurchofchrist@gmail.com. Our desire and intent is to speak where the Bible speaks and to be silent where the Bible is silent, that we may indeed speak as the oracles of God. If you're in the Lake Cumberland area of Kentucky, we invite you to the services of the Pine Top Church of Christ, 1102 Pine Top Road, Russell Springs, Kentucky. We have Bible class beginning at 9 o'clock Central Time, followed by our worship service at 9:45, then meet again at 4:30 Sunday evening. Today, let's search the Scripture to understand how that we are to know what God expects of us today. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul told the brethren at Colossae, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." What does it mean to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus? To do something in the name of something or someone is to act by the authority that has been granted by that identity. For example, a police officer can stop us in the name of the law. But if we as a private citizen tried to stop someone in the name of the law, we would be charged with impersonating a police officer because the law doesn't give us that authority. Also, we may give someone the authority to sign our name on a check, but if someone who we did not authorize writes a check on us, it would be forgery. For us to do things legitimately in the name of the Lord Jesus, we must have his authority for what we do. Where do we find what he authorizes us to do? Of course, the answer is in the Bible. But when we look at the Bible, we have one book of 66 books. 39 of these books are identified as the Old Testament, and 27 are identified as the New Testament. How can we determine what God has given us authority to do? As we noted in our studies of the Mosaic and Christian ages, the Old Testament law was given to the children of Israel at Mount Sinai and was nailed to the cross when Jesus was crucified. Anyone today looking to the Old Testament law for the commands of God for us today would be comparable to someone looking to the laws of the continental period of the American history for what laws we are to follow today. Just as the continental laws were fulfilled and taken out of the way when the United States Constitution was adopted, the law of Moses was fulfilled and taken out of the way when Christ established his kingdom on the day of Pentecost following his crucifixion. The Holy Spirit came upon the apostles in Jerusalem to guide them in all truth, as recorded in Acts chapter 2. And we have Peter's sermon recorded. This was the first gospel sermon in the kingdom of Christ. All references to his kingdom or church prior to that event are looking forward to its establishment. After that day of Pentecost, all references are to its being in existence. Acts chapter 2, verse 47 tells us, "The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Christ's church is his kingdom. It's not a democracy where the law is what the majority want, but is what the king commands. Jesus began his personal ministry with the Sermon on the Mount, as recorded in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. He contrasted many of the teachings of the Jews with what he commanded. James calls the New Testament the perfect law of liberty in James chapter 1, verse 25, where we read, "But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." The New Testament contains facts that we must believe, commands that we must obey, and promises that will be fulfilled. Our society has corrupted the definition of faith. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We cannot do by faith, as defined in the Bible, that which is not taught in God's word." The commands that God gives us through the inspired writers may either be specific or generic in nature. That which God has specified will exclude anything that hasn't been specified. God didn't need to say, "Thou shalt not," to all other things that man may think good. An example is in the command that God had given to the priest as to where to get the fire to offer sacrifices. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2 gives the account of Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, offering strange fire and offering sacrifices. They had authority to offer sacrifices using the fire the Lord had commanded, but they used fire that which the Lord had not commanded, and fire came out from the Lord and killed them. Perhaps Nadab and Abihu had reasoned, "Fire is fire, what difference does it make?" But God showed his displeasure in their actions by not only consuming them, but also in commanding Aaron to not mourn for the death of these his sons. When God gives a specific command, we cannot alter it. We can only either obey or disobey. However, some of the commands given to us are generic. For example, when the Great Commission was given by Jesus to the disciples in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, we read, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Jesus gave the command to go. However, he did not specify how to go. A disciple is given the liberty to choose the method of going. He may walk, go by boat, ride an animal, or in our case, go by car or by airplane. Any method of going fulfills this command. Also, the command to teach gives the disciple the options as to how to teach. Teaching in a group setting, as in the assembly, or a private setting, still fulfills this command. We may also teach verbally or by written word. We also can determine what God expects of us by studying what the disciples did in the first century with God's approval. Acts chapter 20, verse 7 tells us that upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. Also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, we learn that the Apostle Paul had commanded both the Christians in Galatia and in Corinth to lay by in store upon the first day of the week. If the Christians of the first century were under the guidance of the apostles and they observed a practice, then that practice is with God's authority. Only on the first day of the week can we assemble to do the acts of worship, observing the Lord's Supper or giving of our means. Since every week has a first day, we have the responsibility to meet each first day of the week. But God didn't specify the time to assemble. we are at liberty to select a time on the first day of the week that is convenient for us. Some of the practices of the first century Christians were rebuked by the apostles, and those practices do not have God's authority. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul rebukes the Corinthians for being puffed up and not rebuking the man who had his father's wife. Their tolerating sin among their members was not with God's authority. Therefore, it was sin. Also, in chapter 1, Paul condemns the Corinthians for the contentions that were among them. He commanded them in verse 10, "By the name or authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." God expects us to teach and practice only that which He revealed. The activities done in the worship service of the church is to be according to what God has authorized. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, Paul said, "Let all things be done decently and in order." The church at Corinth had problems with the desire and use of spiritual gifts. In verse 33 of chapter 14, Paul told them, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." God had previously instructed them on how they should partake of the Lord's Supper. Apparently, they had changed this feast into a common meal. In chapter 11, verse 17, he told them, "Now this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse." The church was to edify itself, but they were being divisive. Paul in verse 22 said, "What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise you the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." He continued then to remind them of how Jesus had instituted the Lord's Supper at that which was to be done in remembrance of Jesus and His sacrifice for us, showing forth His death until He comes again. In the first century, those receiving the revelation from God were given miraculous gifts to prove that they were speaking the words of God. Paul told the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 9 and 10, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Today we have the written word to study, that we may try the spirits." Let's search the scripture daily. Study the context. Consider all the inspired writer said, and rightly divide the word of truth. In so doing, I think that you will come to the conclusion that there is a God, that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, who gave Himself to provide atonement for our sins, that the Bible is His holy word, and that we will face this God on the day of judgment. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Then in verse 21, He said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." Then in verse 24, Jesus said, "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. The word which you hear it is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." We show our love for Jesus not by saying how much we love Him, but by obeying what He has commanded. His commands are the commands of the Father. Therefore, we need to know what His commandments are so that we can keep them and thus be ready to stand before Him to give an account of our life. Please email us at pinetopchurchofchrist@gmail.com with any questions, comments, or to study the Bible with us. Thank you for being part of this study. Until next week, have a blessed week.